You know the vibes. Welcome back to another episode of the Hoop Genius Podcast, brought to you by NBA 2K25. Ladies and gentlemen, prepare yourselves for the two greatest words in sports. Game 7 is on its way because we just witnessed an amazing Game 6. I'm Momutsi, alongside me as always for these NBA Finals, the legendary coach Brendan Cern, the legendary trainer Mr. Christopher Thomas. Gentlemen, how are you doing this evening?
Doing well, thank you.
We're here.
CT, what hat is that you're wearing?
They're trying to make me a Pacer fan.
They say there's still space on that bandwagon.
It's still space in my head.
Well, the tale of the tape tonight, 108-91, the Indiana Pacers win Game 6 at home to force an all-important deciding Game 7 that will be played on Sunday night. Right off the bat, gentlemen, you know, Coach Sir, you picked the Pacers to win this and win this quite easily.
Yep.
It seems like this entire series is going to plan for you because you called at the very start OKC in seven.
Seven games, yep.
I foolishly said OKC in five.
Yep.
Shout out to the Pacers proving me wrong. CT, remind me, what was your prediction before the finals?
I just wanted seven games. Seven good games, a good series. Despite all the odds of small market mentality and this, that, and the third, like all the narratives that you hear, I just wanted seven games of good basketball, and here we go.
Well, this was an interesting one. The OKC Thunder, well, both teams started off the game very poorly. They both seemed a little nervous because we talked about in the last episode the importance of the closeout game and the pressure. So Rick Carlisle calls an early timeout. And after that timeout, Indiana comes out shooting the lights out. Nesmith, Nembhard, Obi Toppin. Indiana went up by, 7 points, forced an OKC timeout. And they kind of came back into the game. It was a three-point game after the first. But even in that first quarter, there were still major warning signs about what could potentially happen here. Because OKC, another game on the road where they've shot horrifically. They started off just 1 of 11 from 3, I think, in the first half. But the big change in this game really came in the second quarter. I think Miles Turner started this game horrifically. Tony Bradley came in, gave them very solid minutes. TJ McConnell came in once again, gave them very solid minutes, and they kind of blew the game away to take a 64-42 lead at halftime. And you guys know the key stat that I keep an eye on is the turnovers to assists. Mm. Indiana had 13 assists with 2 turnovers. OKC had 3 assists to 12 turnovers in the first half alone. Bench points, 19 for Indiana, 3 for OKC. 3-point shots, Indiana had 9, OKC had 1 in the first half of the game. Then that third quarter got off to an absolutely disgusting start. It was like
4 minutes of nothing.
Yeah. A solid 4 minutes of nothing before Tyrese Halliburton scores a layup and OKC immediately called a timeout. And in OKC, I think they went like over 6 minutes without a bucket when you factor in the end of the second quarter and the start of the third quarter. And then they finally got it, but by then it was too late. It was 90-60, Indiana up after 3, and the game was over. And it was interesting, you know, Siakam hit a buzzer beater to end the second quarter. Ben Shepherd hit a buzzer beater to win the third quarter. And the fourth quarter was kind of a wash. What stood out to you in this one, Coach Sir?
Well, you know, I think, you know, some of these teams, especially OKC, Sam Presti's built his squad on science and analytics. He probably has 30 to 40 analytics people in his department, and he can stick them all, you know, where the sun doesn't shine, because tonight it came down to, you know, you shoot 25% or so from the 3-point line. You turn the ball over every time. You can't guard anyone. It doesn't matter how many analytics people you have. You just got punked in the other team's gym in front of great fans. And now the pressure on you is going to come on you Sunday night like you can't believe, because there is no greater pressure than a Game 7 at home. At home.
You know, I said before the game started, I did a watch along for the game tonight again. And I said, the first thing I said was, you don't want to play with your food. You want to get your work done early. You've got a chance to close out this series here. Okay. People talk about OKC's experience. It's not like the Pacers are an experienced side either. You're right. the pressure is now all on OKC, a historic regular season, the number one seed at home going into that game seven. CT, what did you pick up on in this game? What was really the keys to it?
Keys to it is the Pacers took care of business. They did what they had to do in statement fashion. And I kind of feel the youth logic of OKC said they'd rather win it at home and piss this game away, which it looked like they didn't play to win at all from jump, even. And then here comes the Pacers with more momentum and why not mentality,
Playing with their back against the wall.
but that's what they've done all season, and they're going to make it interesting game seven, and we're up for a treat. And here it comes.
Well,
Here it
a
comes.
lot has been said about the inexperience of both of these teams, really. You've got Siakam on Indiana, you've got Caruso on OKC. But I wanted to ask you, Coach Sir, about the coaching in this. In this situation, a closeout game in the NBA Finals. Rick Carlisle's been in this position before. Mark Dagnall for OKC hasn't. How much of a factor do you think that was going into this game?
No, he's been in them. He was in it against Denver,
In the
and they
NBA
got blown.
Finals.
Oh, the finals, of course not.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's not his fault that he hasn't
No,
been.
absolutely. But do you
Neither
think
have
that
any,
played a factor
yeah,
in any of
and
this?
neither have any of their players really, so it really didn't matter. Caruso's the only guy that had been on a championship team, and he got a goose egg tonight, zero.
He had an uncharacteristic, offensive fouls, and on defense, there were some possessions where he
Yeah.
wasn't making the extra effort that he would usually make.
No, I mean, CT said they came out with the intent to win, but it's that force when it hits you, in anything, in any sport, when you get hit, how do you respond? And they did not respond well. So I really thought that Indiana was going to play well, and they did. I thought their crowd was great. As many years as I've been in professional basketball, I still can't get over how these guys, the home court can just take the most talented players in the world and humble you. I mean, SGA, they were just building up before the game. He's next Michael Jordan. He's going to be the guy that wins the MVP, the finals MVP. They're giving him all the awards, except you got to play.
That
And
part.
you got to play. And the great ones understand that, and he's great. He's great. But you know what? You have to have willing participants with you. And I'm very concerned about Chet Holmgren. I really am. He cannot make a shot.
He had
He
4 points
can't.
tonight, 2 of 9
And
from
the
the
other day,
field.
he was 3 for 15, in a game that I believe they won. He's got great athleticism and stuff, but I'm worried about his body. And I think he's really getting worn down, and the physicality just keeps going up, and the physicality on Sunday will be at another level, and it'll be like, CT, like you're playing in the park, you know what I mean? You call your own fouls or none at
Yes,
all,
sir. Yes, sir. If you want to win, you'll make shots. Don't care about foul calling.
So
If
I
you
mean
want to
it's.
win, you'll make shots. You'll make plays.
So it's going to be really it's going to be a great matchup. I'm glad we have a seventh game. I think it's good. I think there's nothing like it. And then next week, we get to draft on Wednesday and Thursday, so it is great. I mean, this is just a perfect NBA ending, as far as I'm concerned. No matter what happens now, I don't care who wins. I really
There it
don't,
is.
because
Well,
Carlisle's my buddy, Dagnall's my buddy. I'm rooting for either one. Now we got to game seven, we're fine.
Coach, you talk about the impact of having a home court advantage, but then you also say the pressure of a game seven at home, there's nothing like it. So how does this impact OKC in game seven?
Because now everyone is expecting that, you're going to do it, but you are too. But all of a sudden, if that force matches you, all of a sudden now you can't overcome it. And so you go into that game. I played a game seven against Jordan, in the Palace. And I'll tell you what, the night before I was walking, and this is the conference finals, and I'm walking, out with my family that day. And my wife said, "What the hell's wrong with you?" And I said, I don't know if I think we went through our last practice today. I'm not sure we're ever going to have another practice this year. I didn't think we could, because they beat us by 26 the game before, just like tonight in Chicago. And then this was the Pippen migraine headache game. And they scored 74 points and we blew them out 93-74 or something like that. And so you don't know what's going to happen. That's all I'm saying. You just don't know. They should be, you're supposed to be okay, but you just don't know. But I really like the mentality right now of these Indiana guys. This was big now. They come in there, they come in with confidence. I mean, it's right there, 50-50 game, which is great. That's what's great. This is what it's all about right now. The ideal thing would be we played on a neutral court, right? Wouldn't that be something?
No, you got to reward the regular season in some way.
Oh no, oh
Got to give
no.
them
We
some
do.
reason to play for the regular season
Well,
now.
no,
Fair
we
point.
do that in our sport. We do it in our sport. Baseball does it. Football doesn't. But this is great, and so I'm excited. I really am to see what happens.
What really fascinates me here is the psychological factor of a
Huge.
huge game six win now. Are Indiana taking that and using that as a launch pad to keep the momentum rolling in game seven? Or OKC now flying back after the game, going over tape, and they're just sitting in those feelings of getting crushed when they had the chance to close out the NBA finals and they're going to have a bounce back game. Who gets the greater edge going into a game seven?
Are you asking me?
I'm asking both of you.
Oh, by far, it's Indiana. By far, the other guys got doubt. They're telling themselves they're okay, but they're bullshitting themselves. To be honest with you, they're not okay. They're not okay. You're down 31 points tonight. So you're not okay. You just don't know what's going to happen. And so the psychological edge is now on the Pacers, with the Pacers. Now all of a sudden, Haliburton, oh, he's not going to play. He's not going to play. He's not going to be it. Don't even play him in the game. All this crap. All of a sudden, he comes out and plays great. Played great. Yeah. So
Do we
now all of a
think that was
sudden,
a real injury then, or do we think this was mind
oh,
games from
without
the
a doubt, sure
Pacers?
he was. He was hurt.
Because he
Yeah,
looked fine when he was out there.
but
I
he got.
feel there's a bit of gamesmanship on the Pacers side. If Haliburton was not available, I feel this was a different outcome, truly. I still feel OKC didn't really try to win this game tonight. They tried to take it home to win at home.
No,
I think
no
both
way.
teams are. I just think they're young enough and dumb enough to think that, all right, we can win it at home. We don't. The numbers go out because of game seven, but they never lose two in a row. Shea always gets 30 a game. You know, all the analytics can fly out the window for real in a game seven, and it's up for grabs. And I just feel Pacers have the advantage right now, especially if Haliburton is as healthy as tonight and gives them the X factor of not having to depend on the others to have to step up unordinarily.
It only takes it takes
Go ahead,
one
sorry.
injury it takes one injury in game seven by that home team, and you're done to the major player.
Bing. Yes, sir.
Tonight, Shea played kind of uncharacteristically. He had eight turnovers in this one. What do you think was the reasoning behind that?
I don't know. No one. Dagnall, no, I don't
Because
know.
I mentioned, I think it was after game three or game four, that Nembhard as a player gets better as the series goes along defensively. And you saw that in the game tonight. The way that he played defense on Shea was unbelievable. Not only that, the help defenders, especially TJ McConnell, for example, coming across and stealing the ball from Shea Gilgeous-Alexander, times where he usually wouldn't commit a turnover, now the Pacers are familiar enough with him to kind of know his instincts.
Well, there's something about when you have an elimination game, it's everything's out there. So you're playing, there's no, you don't hesitate now. So defensively, I think they are just so locked in on him. They're so physical with him. Nembhard from game six of the New York series through now has been terrific defensively. He was horrible in the New York City in the New York series offensively for a couple of games. Then all of a sudden, when they switched him up onto Brunson, I thought he had a great game six. And I think this is what's carried on. He's really bothered Shea,
Yeah, and
I
I think
think.
his defense fuels his offense as
Yeah.
well. Like the better
Yeah.
he plays defensively, the better he plays offensively.
I thought Naismith was good too tonight.
I thought everyone was good. CT, while I was doing this watch along earlier, a lot of people had questions, right? And these are some more casual fans of the NBA, so I wanted to get your take on this. They wanted to know, how is TJ McConnell scoring like this? Because when you look at him, some of these guys are asking, why don't they just put Dort on him and so on and so forth? And I'm trying to explain that's kind of a matchup you don't really want because of the speed factor. But how is TJ McConnell able to produce at such a high level despite not being, a crazy athlete?
That's what the Pacers do. That's what he does. He's presented his case in social media. He plays harder than most. He's the guy at LA Fitness, Lifetime Fitness, any pickup gym in America. You wouldn't pick him up as the first 10. You give him next, and he'd get out there and destroy you. Not because he's an NBA player, because he plays harder than most, and he's skilled at playing harder than most. In the NBA setting, in this setting, he's not changing his game, raising his level. That's what he does. And he's so consistently aggressive and consistently consistent at being that guy that's confident, and he doesn't shoot step back threes. He doesn't wiggle, wiggle, jiggle. He gets in the paint and dishes or finishes. He finds opportunities on defense to be disruptive. And there's no special science to that other than he admits it's just interest, effort, and energy in being that guy
And
that presents a
it's
case.
great fundamentals as well. Like the spin move he has, the reverse hand finishes, is great fundamentals. Coach Sir, what did you think of Jalen Williams in this game tonight? Because after being the hero with 40 points in the last one, it's not like he showed up this evening in game six.
Well, now you're a marked man. Now that he's the face of the scout report. They have two guys on the scout report. That's the only two guys they're worried about. If they can put if they can slow one of them up, they win the game. They slow both of them up, they destroy you. And that's what I think. They're good coaches keep making adjustments. The beautiful thing about the seven game series versus one and done in the NCAA tournament is you constantly are adjusting throughout the series. And you have two really good coaches at adjustments. As we said before we started, but Carlisle's a master and he just keeps chipping away. And you know what? You can't, and you don't surrender. So, even though things are all against him, you have to come out with a, and the game plans are absolutely so simple when you get to the end of finals. It's ridiculous how simple they are compared to other games, but
Right.
that's what makes it work. The simplicity is the key, and they're just saying we're going after these two guys, both ways, and I think they executed their game plan, even though they get off, they're down 10-2, they came back and just dominated the game.
So, Coach Sir, you've coached in quite a few NBA Finals games. Let me ask you this: when you get to a game seven, though, how much are
Another.
you going with a game plan, or are you just letting the guys out there
Oh
seeing
no!
who's the
You're
top
it's
dog?
it was still no. You're still game planning. I never did a game seven. I've only coached four games against the Lakers 4-0, and then five games against Portland where we beat them 4-1. So I never got to a game seven. Me and Jordan never got to game sevens. So in the finals, but for those that have. No, you're game planning right all the time. I mean, and now what they're doing is they're coming in now with confidence of saying, we're just going to take what we did now and we're going to just take it with us. One thing about, as you know, CT, defense travels. And that's what they're going to sell, that our defense is going to travel with us, our aggression. We're going to come out, we're going to be physical. You notice a couple of times, SGA, when he went to the hoop, he fell down and kept turning to the referees he wanted to call. There were none to be had tonight.
None. None.
No, and I think you're going to see a lot of that on Sunday, which is fine. I mean, this is what it's about. And I don't mean that it's going to be a war or anything like that, but I thought the game was well officiated tonight. I really did. I mean, referees and Chris, you know this, referees favor the team that plays harder. I found throughout my career.
Guaranteed.
If you
That's why
play
Draymond
harder,
gets away with everything.
he plays dirty. He doesn't play harder. He doesn't play harder. He plays dirty. And they're scared of him. They should throw him out every game.
Every
Draymond would be the easiest guy if he played against our Pistons back in the day. We would have him out in one quarter. He'd be so easy to get out. He's easy to go against. But this stuff, he's fine. But it's going to be fun. I think it's great. I mean, I can't emphasize enough that we are in for a treat. We've gotten seven games, great finals, and now enjoy. Get popcorn and sit back and enjoy the hell out of it.
Well, that before we get to the all-important question about game seven, one thing I wanted to ask. They say defense travels, right? But the OKC defense didn't travel with them to Indianapolis for game six. Uncharacteristically, again, for them, Indiana had 16 steals. OKC only had four of them this evening. That defensive intensity, that defense pressure wasn't there. Why did their
Yeah.
defense not travel?
Well, no, it's because you have two people that both play defense, just like you have in football, two teams that really excel at that part of the game. But now, which one is coming with the greater force? I think that's a big word that Rick uses the whole playoffs. He emphasizes to his team, you have to play with force. Tonight, they came and played with force and aggression. That won out over, and I think, it's a simple analysis of OKC. They did not play defense tonight. It was totally absent tonight. Defense did not travel. They forgot to check their bag. It didn't go. It didn't come with them. Not at all. If they came and brought it with them, we'd still be playing in overtime. They didn't bring it with them. They tried to win on offense.
I
So,
just feel,
go ahead,
and
CT.
to that point, and I'll restate, I just think OKC figured they'd rather taste the champagne at home than on the
That's a
road.
risky game to play. That's a
It's a
Yeah.
very risky game to play, and they're good enough to prove it. We'll see on Sunday. But when do you ever see Caruso not aggressive on defense at the minimum, or Wallace? Shea had four blocks and a couple steals last game. Nothing tonight. Chet,
Yeah.
no blocks. Like, it just was unordinary, the lack of defensive presence for OKC tonight, to make me think they really weren't trying to win this game tonight. That's their staple all season, is they get into perimeter. They get into bothering the catches, bothering the first dribble, bothering the body. None of that was tonight.
That brings us to the all-important question, Coach. So we'll start with you. Who is winning Game 7 of the 2025 NBA Finals?
Well, I basically stated I have no idea.
Yeah, but that's not fun. You have to give us an answer,
And
because you don't have
I don't
one.
make enough money on this show to tell you who the hell I think is going to win. I don't know that.
Wait,
So,
you make money? Hold
no, not
up.
on
Come
this
on,
show.
Mo.
No, I make a lot of money, but I don't make it
BJ
on
took all
this
the money.
show.
Take your problems to him, not me.
I'm just thrilled that we got this game. Tonight, I think, even as a road team tonight, an elimination game, I think OKC was favored by like 6 points or something ridiculous. Again, they've been favored in all six games. They'll be favored on, and they will be
Oh, big
favored.
time, because they're going to be at
They've
home.
been favored at all three home games by 9.5 points at home. So I'm going to safely say that they'll be favored by 9.5 on Sunday. But
CT, do
it's
you have a more concrete opinion?
I am more so on defense, just the same as coach, except for I'm gonna go ahead. The Pacers have proven if they're in a game late, not even late, in the fourth quarter, 13 down, they still got a chance, especially with Haliburton on the floor. And it wasn't like they had a entire team effort. Mathurin was nondescript tonight. Obi Toppin has been doing kind of what he's been doing all the series. And again, I'll say we haven't seen a total great team game from both teams at this point. Hopefully in team set or game seven here, we get it. I just feel the Pacers can bust all the OKC never loses two in a row. The Pacers can, with Haliburton at the helm, use that vibe and that energy to do the impossible at this point and bring it home. So bring it home.
Well, I will not be sitting on the fence. OKC will win game seven. Their role players, their bench players are going to be able to shoot the ball. They can't seem to hit jump shots on the road. They're going to be back at home in Oklahoma. They're going to be knocking out shots. After the worst defensive effort I've seen from them all season in game six, I believe that will be fixed in game seven. And, for Indiana as well, I'm expecting, TJ McConnell to do what he does, maybe, and Obi Toppin, maybe not to such a great extent, can have an impact, but we all know that role players struggle on the road as well. So I think that home court advantage will pay dividends for Oklahoma, and
Sure.
they will be the NBA champions.
That's why you're going to have to tune in on Sunday night, and you're going to have to
Absolutely.
listen to their show afterwards.
Absolutely.
I'll tell you this, though. I feel the Pacers have the advantage because of the way the series has been called and the physicality of the series goes to the Pacers' favor, where it eliminates SGA getting the calls he's been getting all season. It eliminates Chet outright. Hartenstein hasn't been a factor as consistent as he was on the boards in the regular season as he is this series. The Pacers had the advantage of getting away with fouls on the perimeter, if you want to call it that. They get away with a lot of physicality that it's going to give them the advantage if it comes down to 3-2-1 on the shot clock or 3 minutes to go, and it's time to win the game in the series in the fourth quarter.
Only time is going to tell. I
I'm
cannot
gonna
wait.
tick tick tick.
Predict the officials for Sunday night's game will be James Williams will be the umpire. The referee will be Courtney Kirkland, and the crew chief will be Mr. Scott Foster.
Are we very experienced referees? Scott
Yeah, I
Foster, no doubt, will make some
mean,
headlines.
we've had 12 really good referees in the finals, and I think and the ultimate is to have a game seven. And so it's going to be fascinating. And
Game
so
sevens in the NBA Finals don't come around too often. This is the first one since what, 2016?
since I believe since LeBron and Steph Curry, I
Yeah,
believe.
twenty
Golden
sixteen.
State.
Golden
Yeah.
State. Yep.
Yeah, so
2016.
as we like to say back in the States, two best words in sports are game seven.
Absolutely.
You
Absolutely.
guys wouldn't understand that overseas, but here we play seven game series,
You need all the advertising money you can get. The land of the free. How about
We
that?
used to be free.
Yeah, one cup finals was enough. We need seven of them. We need all the money. Well, I can't wait, guys. I'm really, really excited. It's been a fantastic finals. And you know what I love so much about this is a lot of people are kind of down about this finals because they don't really care for the sport of basketball. They care for the narratives and the big name superstars. But the Indiana Pacers and the Oklahoma City Thunder, they've given us six fantastic, interesting games so far. And we're going to get one more. And winner takes all. And crowning a new NBA champion for what, the seventh year in a row?
Ninth, I think it might be ninth, if I'm not
Oh,
mistaken.
yeah,
But
that's
that's
first the first time for either franchise.
franchise, which
Yeah.
is
Great.
huge, huge, huge statement for the NBA to, market going forward, as well as they market the big markets and the big name players. This is an opportunity for basketball to grow even more. Like the summer league is going to be phenomenal for sure. But the way this regular season is coming to an end, you couldn't write this storybook.
This is the other thing that intrigues me as well. Let's say the Pacers do win game seven. Do you think Sam Presti finally uses the millions of picks that he's been hoarding and makes a move? Or do you think they run it back the same way?
I think the question is more on the Pacers. Do you try to make any moves, or you stand pat and continue to grow the nucleus that you've developed? Sam Presti's got all the options because he's got all those picks. They have a young enough team under good contracts where they're going to be good. The Pacers are going to be just as good, especially in the East. This could get interesting.
Yeah, Indiana just traded their first round pick to New Orleans yesterday for to get a pick back the following year. So they're going to stand pat, and they're going to use the money that they saved on their pick to sign Miles Turner back, who a lot of people like. And then Sam's going to have to make something. And if he, I think even if he wins, he should make something dramatic happen. I really do, because I think you've seen some of their liabilities, and it's really with the two big guys. I think, that's their liabilities up there, in my opinion.
Could this be the Greek Freak heading to Oklahoma?
They've got 16 guys under contract already for next year,
Yes.
and they have two first round picks. I can't comment on those things, but it's, he has not said he wants to go anywhere, and obviously you're not going to send him anywhere because picks don't help you if you're the Milwaukee Bucks right now. But
But players do.
he's, I've always said that if he was on the move, they had the most to offer. If they have good young players to trade, because remember, you have to trade $53 million on top of not just picks. So you have to
Yes.
get 53 million in contracts, and they don't have a lot of money in their contracts.
They
So these
sign and
guys are so
trade,
young.
and I'm sure they'll figure out a
You
way.
got small contracts.
It's
They'd
really
have to
hard.
trade away a lot.
It's
A
really
lot of players,
it's really
actually.
hard. Really hard. But anyway, we'll worry about that afterwards,
Yeah,
on Sunday night.
the other news was the Lakers being sold.
Yep.
However, it's typical Lakers fashion to try and make the headlines about themselves whilst the NBA Finals are going on, despite not making it to the NBA Finals.
Yeah,
So,
we used to have a thing where you weren't allowed to do anything like that
yeah, we will not be giving them the airtime that they crave.
during the playoffs to take away from it.
Yeah. We'll talk about that after the finals are finished.
That's a big time deal.
CT crazy, bro. Anyway, that's
Lakers, bro.
another
Like, come on,
episode.
Lakers.
Yeah, we ain't trying to talk about the Lakers, man. Make it to the NBA Finals, then we'll talk about you. How about that? That's another episode of the Hoop Genius Podcast. Make sure you guys subscribe to the show, YouTube, Spotify, Apple, wherever you get your podcast from. Make sure you check out what CT is doing at One World Dominator on Instagram. He's got camps all over the world this summer. And check out the Coaching You podcast, the Coaching You app, and the Coaching You website for more fantastic basketball content. In fact, I believe you can find some great content from the coaches you're seeing in the NBA Finals on the Coaching You app. Is that right, Coach Sir?
That is correct.
Absolutely.
That is
So
absolutely correct.
make sure you guys go get that app, download it, subscribe, because you can get lost in there with just a whole library and archive of excellent basketball knowledge. So make sure you guys tap in with the squad. We'll be back on Sunday night. Well, I guess Monday morning. Monday morning
For
after
you.
game seven. It's crazy that they're putting game seven on a Sunday night. They would get way more viewers if they did it on a Saturday night.
They're being greedy and then advantageous. Like, what's on Sunday night besides, hockey's over here. Major League Baseball is in the throes of regular season They're being greedy.
There's nothing bigger in the world of sports right now than a Game 7 in the NBA Finals.
Guaranteed.
Premier League season's over, Champions League finished, all of that's finished, right? Basketball's the next biggest sport. Put that game aside.
They're going for unusual amount of viewership, I'm sure. I mean, it kind of makes no sense to wait till Sunday.
Absolutely.
You know, Saturday's prime.
Absolutely. But we'll be back locked in on Sunday night for Game 7 and breaking it down right here afterwards. So, fellas, I appreciate you both taking the time once again. I'll see you in the next one. And until next time, get buckets.